Oh my goodness. It's the finale of The Expanse, guys. Wow. There's just so much that happened. It was crazy. And we have special guests, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Our white shots.
Oh my goodness, guys. That's our special guest.
Yes! This is what you call a finale.
Yes, we have Alex and Amos in the house, and they'll go around and say their real names and everything. But, oh my goodness, we have come so far. It's the ending of season two, because there will be a season three, so thank goodness. My name
is... congrats.
Thank you.
Yes, congrats.
Very happy about that.
Thanks to you guys.
Lots of love this year.
For sure. And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And we'll go down the line, say your name and where people can find you online.
And I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G. And for those of you who partake, happy 420.
My name's Cass Anvar, and you can find me everywhere at Cass Anvar.
My name is Wes Chatham, and you can find me everywhere at Wes Chatham.
Yay! Thank you so much for coming in. It's so exciting to have you both here.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you, guys.
It's awesome.
And
thanks for having us.
Oh, Kai in the chat says Cass is looking sharp as always, and everybody's freaking out. Yeah, they're
It's like OMG, OMG, OMG.
Thank you, Kai.
So if you if you are watching this live, feel free to join us in the chat. If you're watching it later, comment down below, because we'd love to hear your thoughts on the episode. And that really is what keeps these shows going, is fans interacting with each other, tweeting about it, everything like that. So it's fantastic.
Saw what you did there. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That was good.
You know?
I like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I would love to hear what your thoughts are on the finale. Like, how does it feel for both of you?
Well, we were really lucky. We got to see it at CAA in their big screening room.
Oh, nice.
On the big screen. So we were spoiled, actually, because it looked, honestly, it looked like an absolutely beautiful feature film. And personally, it was probably one of the fastest-paced, most emotionally moving science fiction events I've got to see for a long time.
Ooh. I guess the feeling for me would be satisfied. I think... when I read the books, and the scene when Amos and Holden are stuck in the hangar bay with the protomolecule monster was one of my favorite scenes in the book. And when we were shooting it, not knowing what the protomolecule monster was going to look like,
I
was a little bit nervous. I was a little bit nervous going in, because what my imagination saw in that scene, I was hoping that it could live up to it, and I felt very satisfied that it did.
I totally agree. I read the books as well, and that's not what I pictured, but I really liked what they did with it.
Right. What did you picture? I'm curious.
It was less weird, and it was more female, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
And more humanistic, kind of?
A little bit. Like, I thought it actually had hair. Like, long hair kind of a thing, and not as big.
Yeah. Kind of like Julie Mao?
Yeah, no, I was going to say the same thing.
Not
I was
quite.
Just like, you're describing Jules Mao, right?
Yeah, not
right?
Quite, but
I agree with you, actually. Not female. I had male, but a little more human.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
People are digging your beards, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
So if you have questions and you're watching this live, feel free to write it in the chat, and we will pass that on. So the beginning, and this is also probably interesting for both of you, because similar to in the show, the crew is separate than Bobby Vassarala and Kotiar and all of that. So how is that watching what's happening with the other teams, essentially?
Oh, I love it. I love it. You never know what's going on when we're reading the scripts. You know what the basic storyline is, but you never know how they're going to realize it. We rarely see each other on set.
Yeah, I was going to say, right. Like, I mean, you've been, Cass, you've been like alone. For some,
personally, I get stuck up in the pilot seat.
Yeah.
I'll do two episodes in 8 hours. I'll be up there alone. Everyone else will have the day off, and I'll shoot two episodes of just me going, right, Haas, you got it, Haas. Here we go, Haas. Flipping burn, Haas.
You know what? What's funny is that when we're doing all the coverage in the Rossi, Kaz is usually last, because he's upstairs in the driver's seat, and so it takes a while to get the cameras up there. So we'll do all of our coverage, and he's there, and we're all animated. We have all this energy. And by the time it gets to him, it's at the end of the day.
They're like tired.
We're tired.
Like,
and we're
you mind if we go home, Kaz? Is it good? And I'm like, no, whatever. Go home.
And we're laughing and joking.
Wow. So does that mean he's the better actor because he acts with nobody else there?
Of course it means that. That's exactly what it means.
And we had a couple people joking. So are you guys starting season three tomorrow, 7 a.m. sharp?
7 a.m.
Actually, tomorrow.
Do you have a date yet of when they start filming?
We know July. That's all we know.
Yeah, cool. I'm here in July.
When did this one end for you guys this year? Like, when was this?
Last day, yeah.
September,
yeah.
Okay. No. October.
Wait. What? I can't remember.
It was in October.
So you guys have had some time off.
Mixing up season one and season two. Cool.
We have a good question from the chat. True Harm says, what are Wes and Cass's favorite moments filming the series?
Filming the series or filming the season?
Let's do season finale because we're talking about the season finale.
Okay.
I have a couple of different favorites. I have two sets of favorites. One is my favorites when I'm on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to think the opposite, when I actually get to act with people.
And then there's my favorite being with people. Like, my favorite on my own is the Hank Williams scene where I got to do my little song and the somersault. I thought that was a lot of fun. And consequently, the scene where I put the slingshot together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then my second favorite, my favorite with people is the arc I had with Wes here with Amos,
mm-hmm.
where we got to figure each other out a little bit, and we got to, you know, come to a head where our friendship and our relationship came to a real head.
Yeah.
In I think episode 8 or 9, and we got to discover a lot about each other, and that was really cool for me because Alex doesn't have any real relationships with anyone. His relationship is with his ship. And so that forced him to have some sort of human interaction with another member of the crew, and he actually had to start to care about someone else because he was so gone as far as he was concerned. He was so far gone, and he really started to figure something out about Amos or realize that there was so much that he didn't know about Amos. Mm. And that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Wes?
I think the overall evolution of Amos's psychology towards the last episode, when he really starts to trust himself more to an extent to start to make his own decisions or be proactive. I think like I was mentioning earlier, the churn. I think if you read the churn, if you come across it, you get an idea of mentally where he came from, mentally and emotionally. And how he's slowly trying to put himself together to make sense of the emotional world, and learning through the crew, and it's kind of became his family and people that he's connecting to.
Nice.
See, and you thought he got lobotomized.
I had a moment, I'll be honest.
Well, I mean, we thought about it.
You know? Oh, see? Yeah. Ah, I was kind of close.
No, she asked me in an episode. She's like, you think? I was like, no. I was like, there's no way he did it.
Well,
it's
interesting you picked that up because that was a decision.
Ah.
You know, talking to Cortazar, was it Cortazar? Speaking with him and what benefits, how it unburdened him.
Yeah.
You know, and he was definitely thinking about going that route.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose not to.
Well, you played it well because I'm like, guys, but maybe.
You know, that's the thing about the Expanse fans in general, or anytime I come across when we're creating the arcs and really working on the characters, how far ahead, where they were on to Amos so soon, as I thought that, you know, by the end of second season, people are going to start to really understand what's going on, but they've caught on so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Very early. They understand all the subtleties, and it's really interesting how fast everybody's kind of caught on.
And that makes it really fun for us when we're working, because we have a really fun relationship as the Rossi crew with the way we rehearse. We get we get our scripts a couple of weeks in advance, and then we choose to work on our own on the weekends and just go and have a nice little potluck and get together and just
with each other on our own.
Mm-hmm.
With each other on our own.
That's really cool. That's awesome.
And we'll have a little dinner, and we'll have wine lasagna. And cheese and lasagna.
Yeah, lasagna. I was gonna say, right?
and go over the scripts, and we get to really pick out all the different nuances, and we talk about each other's characters too. And this topic that you just brought up about Amos making that choice came up, and we talked about it a lot. And I guess all of that informed what Wes finally decided to do with it. And it's fun because it's not stuff that's wasted. It's like the audience picks up on these tiny little decisions we make, and so it feels good to have people notice all that work that we do.
Nice. So, you also read the books too, right?
I've read the first two. I'm just about to crack open Abaddon's. What is it? Abaddon's? What is it? I keep getting it wrong, and Ty's always
Aladdin. Okay. Aladdin's War.
And then
Abaddon. No, it's Abaddon's Gate. That's how James S.A. Corey pronounces it.
And then how far are you into the series, Wes?
I'm book two. I started reading the books early.
Okay.
And I started actually the second book before we even started shooting the first season. I started reading the book before I even knew about the series. And I started the second book, and I realized that I started getting a little bit confused because I started thinking too far ahead.
Oh, sure.
And I would say, wait, and I remember talking to Narain, our showrunner, and I said, "What? We already know this." And he said, no, that's the books. We don't know this in the show. And I said, oh, okay. So then I had to. So now I realize it's better to read a book a season instead of going too
does
far.
Does it help you understand the character better knowing that you got like a source material book and then the script, or does it doesn't matter? Like you dissect it by how you're being directed and by the script itself.
For the character specifically, not so much. I think sometimes there's different choices than the books make, but for the story and where we're headed and the whole plot and our relationship, yes, very much so.
Yeah. Cool.
I got a good question from the chat, and I was kind of curious about this, and this happens a lot when someone reads it and watches it. Hagbard said, I read the books through twice before the show, but when the last one was published, you guys replaced my original images of the characters. I think that says a lot about how well you inhabit the characters. So that's not really a question, but a good statement.
That's really cool.
Do you, when you read it, though, do you let the book influence your thought process on the character?
I haven't...
I definitely think it's the alchemy of all the information you take on. Even our personal relationships bleed through into the actual crew.
Right.
And our personal relationship in terms of when we first started shooting, we show up a week and we're like, hey, how you doing? And then we get thrown in this spaceship area for 6 months seven months for the first season.
Right.
So we start to get to know each other, get comfortable with each other as the crew is getting to know each other and get comfortable with each other. And now that we've had two seasons together, it does have that family kind of atmosphere.
One thing to keep in mind is that last book that came out was written after this TV show has been cast. And Daniel Abrams, who's the second half of James S.A. Corey, he told me, he cursed me. He said, you know, I hate you guys now because now when I'm writing, I can't get you out of my head. He says, take that as a compliment.
Nice.
That now you are all in my head when I'm writing the story.
I can't
get the originals back in there. So
now I'm curious, did you start reading the books before the series, before you heard about the series?
Or? No, I saw season one, then started reading the books, but season two, I read the book beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's that mix of, the show does an excellent job of including material from the book, but expanding upon it and changing it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Avasarala is, like, even more amazing in the book. She's great on the show, too, but there's even more, I think.
The censorship kind of...
A little bit.
Handcuffs her a little bit.
It's okay. We know what they're saying enough, so it's fine.
Yeah, we laughed today at yours. It basically means we're...
You got to watch it in Canada. They don't censor it in Canada.
All right.
Oh, they don't? At all?
Oh,
Canada,
that's cool.
It's one of those, if you know what it is.
It's absolutely raw.
Yeah.
All right, so in the episode, we get start off with the Kotiar, or Bobby, and the shootout, and is it pronounced? I'm like...
Kotiar?
I know, we're all talking about pronunciations.
Yeah, I say Kotiar,
I say Kotiar. I'm sure there's going to be some things.
Yeah. I thought it was that, too, but he gets shot, and who was worried about him? I was worried. I'm like, oh, no. But you were shot, too.
I love that actor.
Nick Terabay. He's amazing.
Such an entertaining actor to watch. He's got so many nuances.
He was very good in that.
He did Spartacus, right?
He's in Spartacus. Yeah, he's awesome.
What's his name again?
Nick Terabay?
Nick.
Now, see, his character, I think, is an improvement from the books. Like, his character in the books was more minimal in a way, and they kind of switched that character up a bit. So he's more interesting.
But you know what they also did? I talked to the writer about this, is they actually merged his character with Avasarala's assistant.
Right, yeah.
I can't remember his name in the books.
I don't remember his name either.
But he was this snarky little sassy assistant that ended up betraying her in the books.
There was a lot of funny stuff that they had with the assistant too in the books.
Yeah.
They've kind of
fused a few characters into Kotiar. So it's a nice role. It's a great role.
So pretty much, if you guys haven't read the books and you really like the show, you should read it because it's different enough that you're not going to be like, oh my gosh, I totally know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I do recommend the books. Then we jump over to the crew. We got Naomi and Holden. They get their little makeup scene a little bit.
I don't know. I think
nothing lasts for long.
I think it's going to be a roadblock with her announcement that I don't know.
She made me angry. I was stoked during the whole thing. I was like, this is great. And then all of a sudden I was like, now I'm pissed off.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was like, Like, why did you ruin it?
Yeah. You're like, what in the world? Yeah, I was pissed.
Yeah. Oh, then the decision of the crazy scenes of you guys having to kill it on the ship. But it's so fun to hear Naomi be like, we have to kill it.
Yeah.
And
there's an interesting story about this show. Like, Shore Agdashlu was telling me that when she shot the scene where Pierre Mao, where Aaron Wright comes on the screen and says, I think the end of the previous episode where Aaron Wright comes on and goes, clean up this mess and get back to work and all that stuff. That's not what they shot originally.
Oh, okay.
And Avasarala, Shura didn't know that Aaron Wright was going to betray her when they shot the thing before, and they went and redid it. And I think the writers wanted to add a little bit extra edge to it. And I loved the edge that that brought to Aaron Wright's character. Is I don't know what the original was, but the way it ended up going, I thought was really a beautiful kind of turn.
Aaron Wright's character, we've talked about too, and other people have said in the chat, his character is also expanded more from the books.
And he's done it with Sean Doyle.
Great job.
Yeah. It was a,
I think they did it because they realized they had an actor that could
deliver that.
Yeah.
And now you have a worthy antagonist for
later.
What
did and, you? Oh, go ahead.
And you know, you mess with the bull.
You get the horns.
Yes.
Like, she's not one to mess with. So
no.
Now, what did you all think when you finally got to see what the protomolecule monster looked like? You two, everybody.
It was kind of cool to see up close.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm trying to figure like if I by looking at it, what. I guess I was just happy just to see something. Because we always just saw, like, something with, like, weird blue eyes in the distance.
Yeah.
Or we saw Julie, like, just kind of mutated. Yeah. And
It's okay,
you know,
if you didn't like it. You
no. I'm just because, like, I'm thinking of...
It's okay, Rick.
No, I'm just trying to think of, like, other movies where, like, I see aliens and stuff. And I'm like, okay, now I'm trying to figure out, have I seen an alien that looks like this or have I not? But I think I was just happy just to see something as opposed to just like, always in the distance or it's always like eluding.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, the protomolecule is just here or we're chasing it.
Right.
But you still haven't seen it yet.
Right.
So. I don't think we really knew what it was going to look like, too. And
well,
go ahead.
One of the things that I was afraid of, because I did see, we went and did some blue screen of the scene where we're in the hangar bay with the monster. And I saw a really, really rough cut of the monster on the computer and that Bob Monroe had, and he let me see it. And I was a little bit concerned because it was right at the time Stranger Things was...
Oh.
And I was deep into Stranger Things and that kind of monster. And I thought the rough cuts kind of looked similar, but then the final product looked nothing alike.
Yeah, because they do all the rendering and everything.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, that's Stranger Things. We can't...
Yeah, that's too similar.
Yeah. But it would be cool to, you know...
Yeah, someone in the chat points out, Stark says he was bigger than I pictured. So, yeah. I think some people didn't picture it quite so... large,
because they're babies.
it's because like in my mind, that's what I was trying to figure out, because it was always in the distance. But because it's like we're thinking that it's a mutated off like little kids.
Yeah.
So that's why we think it would be smaller.
Yeah.
But also, it's almost more scary that this little thing is hurtling objects at you.
Right.
You know, it's
that would be
instead of this big.
That
you know?
Would be interesting, yeah. If there was a little kid with blue eyes throwing
kids
stuff
at you. Kids
are creepy,
man.
Yeah.
The one thing that I got from this that I was really kind of happy with, because it's a hard thing to deliver on a monster like that when it's like so much build up to it and how ugly do we do go aliens full on everything or whatever, and the fact that it's coming from kids. The one thing that I really, really liked that they got out of a CGI rendering, which was really hard to do, is I got a lot of pathos out of this character. I saw the creature was quite childlike and quite looked unhappy, and I personally liked that. Like, you know, he was scratching at himself trying to get that thing out of his chest, and he was basically just looking for food, a food source, and there was an innocence to it that I found quite sad.
Yeah.
Because he had no real purpose. Like, he, on his own, when he's not being given instructions or whatever, he's just there like a bit of an animal.
Yeah, it wasn't like a really scary monster being like,
But I understand what you're saying, because if it was one of the children, like, Village of the Damned or Children of the Damned?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then, or like the Omen type little kid that was really human-like with the blue eyes, that would be really,
What was actually in the room with you that you had to act? Was it just a tennis ball kind of
Elias.
Thing? Was there a person?
Oh, Elias.
Do you know who it was?
Do you remember season one, Kenzo?
Mm-hmm.
That little traitor? Mm. That's my buddy Elias.
At the end when the protomolecule grabs him and pulls him in?
Yeah.
He did the, they modeled it off his movements.
Ah.
His,
oh, cool.
He's actually, he's a buddy of mine. We do a lot of voice work together. He's a voice actor, and he does a lot of motion capture as well as his acting work.
Nice.
And so, I don't know how, either I said it or somebody had told them that, you know, Elias does a lot of motion capture, and they had to bring someone in. I said, well, let's get Elias to do it. He's good.
Perfect.
And keep him in the family. So,
nice. And then he gave you 10%.
So that's going to be a thing now. We have to get Elias in every season of The Expanse in one form or another, no matter what character it is.
Samira asks, what is Cass's favorite cowboy Texan saying?
What is my favorite? One of them actually didn't make it to
the
show.
Don't say.
Because it's going to happen next season? Because is that why?
Don't say like, donkey ball.
That's not mine. That's actually invented by Jim Disick.
Oh, okay.
But you said it today. We actually put it into one of the episodes, but it didn't make the cut, which is mess with the bull, you get the horns.
Ah.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
That is one of my favorite sayings.
Nice.
And, that is one of them.
A fun line that we get directed at U.S. is with Prax. If you know a lot about how people die.
Right.
Which was actually very comedic.
Yeah,
I do.
It's like,
yeah. And I think, again, kind of the unique relationship that I am developing with Kaz, I developed that with Prax as well. And he has a way to kind of talk to Amos where he makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And he kind of reveals those things, and it's like, mm-hmm. I guess I do have
one. Yeah. What did you think of when Bobby's power suit armor is on the ship? I knew because the books, and I was so happy that it went that way. They got to it a little differently, but that was so exciting with the elevator, the fight scenes. Oh, man, she kicked ass. Oh, so,
I was very happy with her fight scene, actually, because I haven't seen her do anything of that nature.
Other than kind of beat up her general a little bit, but that was like really easy.
But that was good. No, but even that though. But
it was quick. It was quick.
That girl knows how to throw a punch.
This was a good fight scene.
That was a good one though.
Yeah. We like that fight scene as well.
That was a cathartic ass whooping that she
did. Yep.
Bam, bam. Like she knows how to throw a punch. Frankie knows how to throw a punch. So.
But I loved her coming in with a suit because she just did all this fighting and just grabbing by her hands and throwing them up against the wall and they're ricocheting. I thought that was really cool.
And the editing, speaking of that, that's at the end. It's the editing of that was amazing. Cutting between Naomi with Holden and Bobby and the music. I was just like, ooh, goosebumps. I was so excited.
And that incredible moment on Venus with the Arbogast.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That was,
not expecting that.
I wasn't either. Yeah. I didn't know anything about that.
That's in the book.
Yeah, I mean,
it happens differently, though.
It's a moment in the books.
But I didn't know anything about in terms of shooting because we didn't work with those guys. They were there on different days. I didn't see any of the visuals of it before.
Yes.
Did you guys catch
on the big
Adam.
Screen? It was just like, wow.
Yes.
Did you catch Adam Savage's little cameo?
I did. And I saw
she mentioned it to me.
Yeah, I saw his tweet about it. So if you all didn't know, Adam Savage is the pilot on
the Arbogast.
Well, was he actually a pilot? I don't know. He's there and has a few lines, and it's really cool.
It's a round ship. I don't know how you can pilot
He's a red shirt Star Trek guy.
Definitely a red shirt. He's pushing buttons.
But yeah, he's spoken a lot about how much he likes The Expanse, so it was cool. He was very happy to be on it. So that was fun to see.
But he did a behind-the-scenes of The Expanse thing.
Yeah.
He did a whole thing, and then that was his reward.
Oh, actually, this was a good moment, is with, for Amos and Naomi, the sorry scene, like how you're both saying sorry, and how I loved your line of, I made you put me down, and that you'd go into making your choices.
Mm-hmm.
How was it like playing that scene, and like how do you approach that, because Amos is a very unique kind of character.
Well, I think, Amos was trying to make his own decision, but ultimately, when Naomi achieved what she achieved, he realized that she was doing the right thing, and that I was just getting in the way. And so it was apologizing because, you know what, I usually trust your judgment above mine, and I didn't that time, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I felt a little hurt. She stabbed me twice with some drugs, but
he just got like super high. That's all.
Right?
Yeah.
what did they actually stab you with? Was it just like a pen without a point or kind of
morphine?
Idea?
They actually put morphine in
because
I go all the way through. I commit 100%.
Right.
I wasn't able to work for 3 days, but that scene really worked.
That's some dedication. Yeah. That's some dedication.
Wes gets carried away sometimes. Yeah. We gotta trank him.
How hard she had to hit you though, of like that would kind of hurt. Of like
it was
flinch.
the uh, It was the syringe that props had in. Yeah, there was nothing in the way that she held it. It was just her.
Fist.
Okay. Yeah, her fist more than anything.
It's interesting what happened. The illusion. What happened with you and her? Amos is such an interesting character because a lot of the times you think because he's mad at himself or he's pissed off at himself, and you think because of how he presented that he's mad at you. Because we had that same, we had that same moment or similar moment when you and I got into it, and you started, and then you started painting the broken moon of Mars, and and I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And then you got this big shit-eating grin on your face, and you're going, what, you want to take a shot? And I'm everyone thinks you're like there to confront me and and be all macho, when in fact what he's doing is he's actually wanting to make up with me and offer me a chance to take a shot so that I can get my anger out.
And that's another one the fans... I didn't think the fans would... Like, they were on point with that right away. I thought that maybe they would think that I was... I thought maybe that they would think I was trying to really start something or go after Kaz, but the reality is... So we got a note. We got a note that
keep
we were...
Keep scooting more to your left. You guys are all so cute. Scooting our way. But yeah, you got an...
But the reality is that it was my way of trying to make up with him. And it's like, oh, okay, so I took up for him in a way that might have... He might feel emasculated or whatever, so maybe he needs to punch me in the face. You know, that's fine with me.
It's a very Amos philosophy.
Yeah.
And you did it with Miller a little bit.
Yeah.
Like when you confronted him in the kitchen, you said, well, you know, if we want to square up, let's do it now.
Yeah.
Get it off your chest.
Then we have Prax's decision or a great plan of, wait, we gotta just lure it out, which is great. Because it's like, no, let's not kill everybody on the ship, because then we get the moment with Amos and Naomi. It's like, you're lying, it's gonna kill him. And he's like, yeah. He's like, don't kill him, please, not yet. The great moment, too, with Bobby with the electrician dude was so funny.
Yeah.
Just random comedy, and it's like, does he deserve your life? Is he worth dying for? Right. The guy's like, what do you mean? So we're going to die here. This is stupid.
And that's a credit to the writers because, you know, that scene could go where she just kicks everybody's ass and gets where she needs to go, but this is a unique way to kind of get some insight into her and how she thinks. And I thought that was really great.
Just rough me up a little bit and throw me in a locker. It's all good. It's all good.
They don't know.
I would have said the same thing. I just like, just don't hit me. Not too hard. Just hit me a little bit. Just not too hard.
She had a good moment in an episode before that where she confronts Kodiar and says, I don't go through. I don't. You wrong me first. And then I'm going to go through you like a door.
Yes, but I love that line, too.
That was a great line. It kind of showed a lot about... And that she showed that exact same side of her personality with this guy, this technician, and just said, look...
Well, he's not a threat. And it's like, if you're not going to be my problem, then I'm not going to hurt you.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. It's a noble warrior.
Yeah. Yes. So how was the scene, too, that we have with Amos and Holden and, like, talking about you always make, you know, stupid choices, but you're trying to do the right thing, and thank you. Thanks? Holden's like, okay.
Yeah. Again, it's trying to connect to him in a way that Amos doesn't really know how to do.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to do it, but he's kind of saying... A lot of the humor comes from those situations just by Amos's point of view and the way that he sees the situation.
Yeah.
But he's trying to say, you know, thank you and for giving me a home, for giving me a family, for doing the right thing, being somebody that I could look up to.
Yeah.
But it's just not coming out right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we can, another, like, the show does a great job of having moments that are really, like, heavy, but... then it's comedic, because with Kotiara and Avasarala, like, you think maybe he died. I had a moment, I'm like, no! Don't let him be dead! And she, like, stabs her thumb in the wound.
Yeah. He's so good.
That was great.
He's so good. Like, ow!
Yeah, it was a beautiful moment, and he just kept glaring at her.
I wouldn't let you go into shock.
It was so good. Like, no, I'm paying your son back by keeping his mother alive. And you're like, aw, brownie points there. That was so sweet.
Yeah, it was a great scene. I totally agree.
And then when they say, you know, give her up, and he's actually thinking about it, you know.
We talked about the Venus a little bit, but what did you think when that ship blew apart and you saw all the working pieces?
Well, I kind of told you, like, for the last couple episodes, why is the Arbogast slowing up the momentum of the show? I was like, why do I care about these people? I don't know who they are. I don't care about them. I was like, get back to the main crew. That's who I care about.
Right.
Seeing that last scene, I was like, wait, what just happened? I was like, what? And then, then you start seeing the blue, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, okay, now
there's some shit going down on Venus.
Oh, yes.
And it's really about letting you know that you're about to really know all about the protomolecule soon.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it where it comes
over.
From.
It yeah. ain't over.
That yeah. scene was like, you just are like, you don't even know exactly how to feel because you're like, dude, they are all like gone.
Yeah.
They're done. Mm-hmm. But now, we talked about this a little bit. I picture it in the book that the people came apart as well. Did you visualize that or more just the ship?
I think I did picture the people. I'm trying to remember back, but I think it was specifically that everything came apart. You know,
I think it's just probably would have been a little too gruesome on television.
But how great was that?
Yeah.
Everything came apart and it's floating there, and you're really starting to see the protomolecule starting to develop and really come into its power.
I thought it was an interesting choice because they gave us insight through the crew members' eyes for the last few seconds of their lives because you know they're in that toxic atmosphere, but for 30 seconds they're able to see something that no human being has ever seen before. You know, and that was quite bittersweet. You know, because you saw almost a little smile on our Aussie's. I can't remember the character's name. The scientist.
It's one of those. They said it like one time, and we also were like, ah.
"Yeah, we were like, yeah, we were debating." It was like, but again, what, was this another great role. Was that his name?
But what I'm wondering is, I wonder because of the protomolecules' influence on them, like, what if they
could still be
if they're
alive,
protected,
right?
Or, you know, or kind of being brought into the and they're absorbing their consciousness.
Yeah,
or,
we didn't actually see a death scene.
No.
It's one of the no body, no proof.
no body, no proof.
So we also get the Holden is okay, and both of you give him a nice like pat on the knee of like, oh man, you're good, and he's like, ah.
That was a little fun we had. That was actually something we invented on the spot.
Oh yeah,
that's great.
Nice.
Because it was the end of the show, and it was a very serious scene, and everyone's like, and I kind of went to Wes. And I went, Wes, do you think this would be too much if I did this? And he's like, no, do that. And then I could see his mind was working too, and I was like, what's he planning? And so I went to Steven, and I said, okay, Steven, I'm going to just touch your leg at the end of that thing. And he's like, what?
Kaz usually touches his leg, so he doesn't think
it's
different.
Oh, yes, okay.
It's a little thing I do.
Yeah.
And so it was like,
what he didn't say is he says that after every scene. Like, can I just touch your leg?
The camera won't be rolling him. He's going to touch. And so they said, okay. And they thought I was a bit weird. But the only person that actually knew really what was going on was Wes. And he was like encouraging me. And then so I did it. And then the first take we did it was funny and everything like that. And then Wes, I did it again. And so we did it again. And then as I'm leaving, I see Wes go in and whack him. And I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. It was a little 1-2 punch. So that's a lot of how we work. We're very, very, as a group, we're very, very supportive. And we're all very generous with each other. And everyone, a lot of times I'll be doing something and Wes or Steven will come up and go, hey, why don't you try this? Why don't you try this? And it has nothing to do with them. We're just helping each other out, make the scene better. And that's very rare, actually. That's very rare. And it's because of the relationship we have as a foursome in our rehearsals. We're very comfortable kind of giving each other ideas to help further our characters along.
Did you try to aim of, like, getting outer thigh, inner thigh, knee? How personal were we getting
upper
here?
I'm going to keep that information to myself.
We got to do it again. I wasn't quite right, you know. Yeah.
I touched his shin, okay? It was below the knee.
Not
the
high
shin.
Enough, yeah.
And it was funny, because even in that thing, I was enjoying when I watched it, is when Alex does it, he's like, oh, shoot, I'm sorry. And then when Amos comes and does it, he just smacks him and goes. And it's like no idea of the consequences of his actions. He just whap, and so it's a good indication of even the two characters, you know,
for sure,
through that one little gag. And it lightens the scene up. It's a very heavy scene. It's about to get heavier. It's nice to put a little bit of humor in the scene, and you know, and we have fun doing that.
It's definitely something this show accomplishes so well, of having these heavy moments and then random bits of humor. Now with the show, the books are written so well, the episodes are written so well, how much improv do you get? Because you kind of talked about it a little bit, but in general, how much improv are you allowed?
A lot of our improv comes from our rehearsals, and the writers attend the rehearsals as well.
Cool.
So we go through and we'll be at the conference room at the hotel, and we'll be sometimes even set things up to even work on movement before, because when you're doing television, you don't have a lot of time for rehearsals or setting things up. So we usually rehearse off with the writers there, and we'll kind of find something, and oh, this is good, and then they write it, and then they script it, and we go.
Nice.
So it saves us a lot of time when we're on the set.
Yeah.
Doing things, yeah.
Well, that must feel great, too, because I don't think many shows are allowed that much flexibility with their actors in the... Depends on how involved their writers right. are,
it's
right?
A, it's a rare... I mean, there are shows that do it, but this is a rare opportunity
it's
for
It's a
us.
Very collaborative... Mm. You know, mm-hmm. I think everybody cool. cares a lot about the show, and it's you know, everything that's happening with the show right now has been so exciting for us because we put so much into it.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of exciting, was it where were you guys when they said okay, we've got it season 3?
Mm-hmm.
That was my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday!
That's
awesome. That's
a good
that's a great birthday present.
A great birthday present. I told these guys the day before. I said, I can't wait to hear tomorrow as we get picked up on my birthday. I'm gonna be so happy.
That was on your birthday.
Yeah, I was shooting. I was shooting The Strain. I was on set. It was like 11 p.m. and I went to my phone and I looked and I saw my email from our showrunner and he said, "Woohoo!" And I think they had already received it, but I texted all of them and said, "We got it!" And everyone said, "Happy birthday!"
Right.
So that was a great. That was one of my best birthdays ever.
Yeah,
was because the people on The Strain, they gave me a birthday cake and I got little gifts and then I got that that news and it was a lot of fun.
Do you remember where you were?
I was trying to remember. You know what? I do remember now. I was calling Jerry, who's a lawyer at Alcon, and I was calling him, and he said, and I was calling him about something unrelated, and just to talk, and he said, "Oh, you know, you're about to get, you know, just so you know, you're about to get some good phone calls coming." And then I knew at that moment that you know that we were getting season 3, and that was a good feeling.
It was a great feeling.
With this show,
of course. We are talking about The Expanse, but Cass, the chat room, was like, "Wait, you're on The Strain?"
Oh, they don't, yeah, I am on The Strain. I was in season 3 as Sanjay Desai, and I will be in season 4 as Sanjay Desai as well.
Nice. And then also in the chat room, a good point. Stark Targaryen says, "Whatever method you guys are using, keep it up. It works just fine." And I think referring to how well it works together, Kyle says, "It shows." And then, yeah, for sure. And how do you... Now, you've read the books, and you know your own character, of course, obviously. I like this question. I think it's, like, on 7A6. Has anyone... how do you like the changes from the show and the books?
I love the changes, because we've got the novelists in the writing room, right?
Right.
So James S. A. Corey is actually right. James S. A. Corey wrote the finale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote the second part of the premiere of this season.
Okay.
So he wrote two episodes.
Cool.
Last year he wrote Donkey Balls, or they wrote Donkey Balls. So they're heavily, heavily involved in every single word that goes on a page for the series. I'm a huge fan. Like, season one, they brought Ava Sorala from the second book into the first season.
Yes.
Hugely important. Like, that show wouldn't have been the same without Earth in there, right? The biggest thing that I remember that they did that I loved was in the original series, the Canterbury went to check out the distress call because Captain McDonald said, "Okay, let's go check out the distress call."
Mm-hmm.
They changed that. They made Captain McDonald say, "Let's purge the logs, get the hell out of here, it's pirate bait." And then Holden, the man who does not want to make a decision ever to save his life, wants to stay under the radar, out of the way, Mr. Number Two, never wants to be number one, decides to have a pang of conscience. And the one decision that he makes...
But he did hear the distress.
Chain reaction.
He listened to the distress call, and he makes a decision that unravels everything. 50 people of his friends die. We get put into the middle of a war. It starts all because of his one decision.
One
and
choice.
Then he spends the rest of the series now trying to redeem himself.
Sure.
And that wasn't in the books. And I think that was a brilliant choice to give... To give our fearless leader like something like that to kind of try and undo for the entire series. He's now culpable for everything that happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
What about you, Reed?
I think all the choices have been really smart. I think that are different from the book. I think that the visual medium, there's some choices that make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
That wouldn't necessarily make sense for the books, and there's choices that you do for the books that wouldn't really make sense for the show. So the fact that we have James S. A. Corey deeply involved with the story and also it's something that they've been thinking on and marinating on for so many years that things have evolved that they might even have written different when they come back. So so that's a great advantage for us in the show.
Yeah, Ty always says, he goes, "I love getting a second chance to do it right."
Right.
Is how he approaches the TV show.
Right.
Well, it's an opportunity for them to maybe make a version that they hadn't explored yet.
Yeah.
kind of like choose your own adventure. Like they've just changed the path a little bit.
Right.
So the only other kind of things that I had notes on that were crazy at the end of the episode is Fred Johnson now has the proto molecule. Oh shit!
Look out!
Yeah. Oh man, that's just, oh.
And I'm still undecided about Fred Johnson.
Right? Yeah. I know. Rick was saying he was here earlier for an interview.
Oh yeah.
Oh no! I was having a conversation, and someone was bringing up Chad, and I was like, but he hasn't been in the last couple episodes,
right?
Yes. So I almost like kind of forgot,
right?
And I was just like, what?
Have you interviewed Chad before?
No, not yet. But it's just forgotten.
Yeah.
I forgot. I was like, no, there is no. And then all of a sudden, I was like. And, like, as soon as the conversation ended and the person walked out the door, I was like, oh, he's talking about Fred Johnson! I was like, yeah, Fred Johnson hasn't been in the show for, like, a couple episodes. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, but it's always trouble when anytime Fred Johnson's involved, it's always trouble.
It's true.
I'm undecided, but there's always trouble. It's never like, oh, this is a good thing.
It's an appropriation. Right. It's an earther appropriating Belter culture, trying to do good for the Belters. It's a great analogy, actually.
It's interesting that he got the protomolecule and not Anderson Dawes.
Yeah.
Well, Naomi said I interpreted it as she thought she was going to die, so she told him where it was.
Right.
So, out of all the people, I think she respects Fred more than Anderson.
I think Anderson represents terrorism to her, and she has a big issue with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though he's a Belter, and
I think
she feels Fred has the best interests of the Belters in mind. But again, I don't actually completely disagree with Anderson Dawes. Anderson Dawes said, you know, I loved you. I think you had the best intentions in your heart, Fred, but you're still an earther.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're thinking like an earther. And you're making decisions like an earther for us. And he says, you just can't do it. So you're out.
Right.
And so it's an interesting thing when someone appropriates someone else's culture and tries to do what's best for them. Mm-hmm. And they can't really ever know what it's like to be. And he's only doing it out of guilt because of what he did.
I love Jared Harris. I love
him. Amazing.
He's so good at Harrison.
Yeah.
Chat room generally agrees with us that Fred Johnson is far more trustworthy than Dawes. And then this is kind of interesting to talk about, too, real briefly. Cough2009 says, I found the shift in Naomi's character difficult as I felt it was kind of a sudden turn in season two. I agree a little bit. There were some scenes where I was like, because it didn't happen in the book, so then I felt in the show it felt a little rushed.
I will be interested to see how Amos reacts to the lie that she told about the protomolecule.
Mm-hmm. Oh man!
I mean, that is a very big turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
especially for her, who's such a peacenik. Like she's the girl. She's the person who doesn't want to hold a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's gone and given the most lethal weapon known to man to. Terrorists, basically.
Well, she gives the point that Earth has it, Mars has it, Belters need it too.
Well, she rationalized her life.
Well, what did you think?
If everyone has a weapon,
I'm curious. What did you guys think about that? In terms, of, like, how did that make you feel at the end when she?
I was pissed. Yeah. I was literally pissed. I was just like, aren't you the one that's always trying to do the good thing and like
you have the deadliest weapon?
Yeah, and I mean, it defeats the whole purpose. It's like, why were we chasing this thing if that stuff's already out there? You gave it to somebody else. It's like, what's the point of chasing the thing that's running around? Because it's like, if you kill it, someone still has another version of it. So
I like her logic. It makes sense, but if everyone has a gun. You know, it doesn't necessarily make it better. I mean, it's more like having a nuke, but still doesn't make it better.
Right.
You know, so it's like, John, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but Jonna in the chat says, I really enjoyed the evolution of both Amos and Alex.
Oh, thank
you. I agree, yeah. Your characters definitely have come a long way.
Oh, yeah.
Because also you just get more screen time, because it's like, there are... The show doesn't really have necessarily main characters because it just really evolves into like everybody is a main character in their own way.
It's a great ensemble, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a couple of key.
It's a true ensemble.
Key stories that everything revolves around, but it is an ensemble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but we've talked about Avasarala. What would it be like if your characters get to meet her and Bobby?
What will it be like?
I'm like, well, see, if you, that happens.
You've read the book.
I feel like it's got to happen now.
We have so...
It's
got to happen. And I loved when Miller crossed paths with us in season one.
Right?
We met each other for the first time. And I can't wait to have that that happened. Yeah, and that energy.
Well, it's nice because, I mean, the four of us as actors, we spend a lot of time together. We spend a lot of time as characters together. We do everything together. We're so isolated from the rest of the show. One's on Earth.
Yeah.
One was on series with Thomas Jane. We never interacted. So by the time Thomas came onto the set, we had such a synergy between the four of us.
Mm-hmm.
We were such a little tight-knit group that his arrival was really an intrusion, which is what it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that tightly oiled, like well-oiled machine that gets disrupted by this incredible force that was Miller. And now it's going to happen again, what you're suggesting with Avasarala or with mm-hmm. Bobby. It's going to be interesting because Avasarala is completely out of her element when she gets onto the Rossi, whereas Bobby is a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be on a Martian ship, and there's going to be another Martian with her. So there's mm-hmm. going to be, it's like a completely different thing.
So romance? No.
Oh, I don't know about that. I have to read the books. I got to read the books.
Now, Prax has done a good job of kind of joining the group.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if there's going to be more chaos or
he's
not.
He's a steely-eyed guy of science or whatever.
Plant guy.
Plant guy, yeah.
Now, how was it like having him join the team? Because similarly how you were saying with Miller joining the group, how was it having Prax join?
Or having Terry Chen ensemble? Come on.
Yeah. Terry was great.
Yeah.
I mean, working with Terry.
Yeah, Terry's a good guy, and we bonded with him similar how we bonded with him in the show. It was mm-hmm. nice having him.
He's a very cool guy. He's a fellow Canadian, mm-hmm. so it's nice to have him because I'm from Canada as well. I liked it because we liked him as an actor. We loved him. My character, I enjoyed him on the set as a character because he's the only character that Alex got to be irritated by. Nobody else really irritates Alex, but I was getting irritated by him because he was so, he was almost Asperger's. He was almost like, he was so hyper-focused in a different way than Amos. Because
mm-hmm.
Amos is always pragmatic, practical, and I kind of agree with all of his choices. But this guy was putting us in danger all the time.
Yep.
And Alex finally popped a cork and said, like, you know, just keep your mouth shut. You're going to get us killed. And I liked being able to get to that with Alex because that never really happened before. So that was mm-hmm. a nice moment between us. And then he gets to redeem himself by coming up with the brilliant solution on how to save us all.
Well,
but there's still some hesitation there.
I think...
May? Is that you?
Oh yeah. I think we were all annoyed when he got me shot.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you know, we told him, like, relax, figure this out. And he goes, where's May? And he starts shooting. It's like, come on.
You never really got mad at him. I was surprised at that, actually.
I did. I held it in.
You kept it.
Well, Samira Chan in the chat says if Avasarala would scare Alex, he'd have no idea what to do.
Oh, you're probably right. Yes. I probably would be scared of her because Alex doesn't really kind of relate with women very strongly and a strong kind of forceful woman like that. Yeah.
I feel like she's going to come on the Rossi and take over the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, she can't help but be in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, were there any other moments that stood out to you while filming that were particularly funny, interesting, just memorable in any way?
Like having to have your shirt off and...
She was drooling.
She's petting the screen, and I'm like, it's not 3D, it's just a TV screen.
Actually, I'll add this to it. I saw your Instagram photo. You had something like, you know, Amos finally shirtless. It's just like, ooh, check out those guns. You normally have like a regular T-shirt.
I had to quit drinking for a week.
No, I was going to say, did they warn you? So, like, this is what we wanted you to shoot it. So you're kind of like, oh, man, that means I got to, like, can't eat carbs, no cupcakes.
Well, they let me know about a week in advance. And I think they let me know when we were headed to the bar. And I was like, man, no beer. I can't drink beer tonight.
That's
so
cold.
You know. The sacrifices we make.
Yeah, the sacrifices.
And you're like, I'll take a club soda.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I had a beer anyway.
Yeah. Light beer, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
You're just like, no, I got this here. Yeah. It's fine, guys. a quote from the show and kind of how it happens to Amos a lot, too, of like, Sam says, why are you always getting shot? I think Amos even says, like, why am I always getting shot?
Yeah.
Right. I think it's because he's always finds himself in the center of the action.
Yep.
You know?
And you're the muscle.
Yes. I think referring to Alex being nervous about Avasarala, On says, but Bobby would be there to take his mind off things. LOL.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Somebody might know something I don't, actually. I don't know.
Well, then there's...
It's actually Amos that has the romance.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, I'll think anybody could in terms of, like, it's she's honestly, an attractive, absolutely. Awesome lady that...
Yeah.
We brought that up on an episode, and then someone in the chat's like, oh, I see her more as a friend person. And we're all like, what? Why would you turn that down? You know?
Right.
Then
the only thing I can say is that I think Alex is going to, as much as Alex has tried to kind of distance himself from Mars, he's still a Martian at heart. He is still from Mars. He grew up in that mindset, and he's had to run away from some things, a lot of things he's run away from. But it's going to be interesting, and I think good for him to have someone who's in a very similar situation. She's abandoned Mars as well, and she's now kind of like a soldier without a home.
Solidarity.
So there's going to be that bond that they share, whatever that is. It might be very good, or it might actually cause friction. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
Speaking of Amos's getting shot all the time, I was remembering, and what do you think of that part in the book where, I forget who Amos is talking to, but I think you're talking about to Holden, of like people getting through you, and it's like, nobody's going to get past me, like they're going to be dead by the time they get to me. Do you remember that part? I think it's when you first get to, I think it's on Ganymede with Prax and like that, when you're going into it and you're like blocking the... like retreat pattern. It's just like, don't let anybody get through. And Amos has something like, oh no, if they're getting to me, they're going to be dead already or something.
I think I do remember. Is that when we first get to Ganymede?
I think so, because that happens differently in the books as well.
Yeah, yeah. Again, see, that's how I get confused, because like, I was thinking about when we. But somebody on Twitter made me laugh out loud, because when Naomi stabbed me with a shot, and they said, even with no guns, Amos always gets shot.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Cold Cut says, does Cass know about Alex's backstory with his wife and kid? I mean, they briefly talk about it on the show.
We know right? What you know.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
He has a wife, he has a child, and based on everything that happened in season two, they think he's dead. They think he died on the Doniger, a hero, and that's as far as we know. I know that I'm personally very curious to explore that and figure out what that is. And he went through a big emotional arc in season two with kind of the release of of that connection, which he did in like episodes 9 and 10, where he figured out his slingshot when he let go of his ring. But I know they've got plans. I know they've got all sorts of ideas bouncing around that they're not sharing with us in the writer's room. So we'll look forward to seeing. And that's all stuff that probably was never even explored in the books. So it's going to be an interesting surprise for all of us.
I would be curious to learn about that.
Yeah.
Well, all things considered, based on what Alex has to do all the time, it's probably better for his family to think he's not alive, because then he probably could die very any moment. You know, you guys, it's not like you go on any dangerous adventures or anything.
but also, like, what about Amos and his babysitter? Or was it his babysitter? Like, that's who he was, like, I mean, they brought that up, and then they kind of just dropped who that person was.
Are you talking about in the churn?
You know, Lydia? Lydia. They brought her up,
and then she's kind of not his
babysitter. Well, I don't know. They have a different relationship. But she,
I mean, I don't know the relationship you've had with your babysitter.
I was gonna say, it's not impossible, right?
Right.
Have you seen Star Wars? I mean, they brought her up, and now it's all of a sudden it was just like to humanize you a little bit, and then.
Well, what they planted seeds, but those seeds will mature. I mean, it's all about it's developing, kind of going through. And
he was about to look her up on the search engine.
It was, you know, they even dropped even subtler hints in season one, season two a little bit more, and I think season three you're gonna learn a lot.
I think for me, I was hoping to see something by this season, so like obviously because we're gonna be tuning into season three.
Yeah, I think we're at a point to start learning about that time in Baltimore.
Not to get into current politics too much, because nobody really, really wants to talk about that. But from the chat, how do you react to the political comparisons of the show with global politics today? Because there are some things that are actually very similar.
Right.
But the books were written so long, long, but they were written before today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's
kind of
crazy.
And they were shot before today, too. Yes. Like, we shot this stuff 8 months before Trump got elected or whatever. So it's like, it's just good writing. It's just good writing. People really in tune with what's going on.
And their finger on the pulse of... kind of what's going on, and I think Brexit happened at the time when so and I think people I think act very similar throughout history when it comes to power, when it comes to fear and certain things like that. So it's kind of the history of human nature that's kind of implemented in the show. And the political dynamic between Earth, Mars, and the belt. And I think what's interesting is that racism has kind of turned into planetism, you know, where we're always going to look for differences and we're always going to try to be better than the other person.
And very human.
It's very, very human, you know, and it shows that.
I mean, you look back on Shakespeare, same thing's going on with Shakespeare, and then, it's, you know, stuff happening in our generation. And I guess what it's saying is 300 years from now, we're still going to be human. You know, we're going to have better technology. We're going to be exploring.
It'll be different settings, but we're still fighting for the same things. We're still struggling for the same things.
Well, that's exactly kind of what Naomi brings up. She's like, it's just part of being human, if, like, that's just what we're going to have. You know, there's weapons. And then actually, wait, the other crazy thing that we get at the very, very end, May is still alive. Sort of, question mark. She seems alive.
She was not one of those monsters.
Yes.
And did you get that was a throwback to Indiana Jones? When they closed the thing on May.
And the
camera starts going back. And the guy's whistling as he walks out. It's when they put the Ark
in the museum later that night.
And then they put it in there and he whistles when he walks out and the camera goes back.
Wow, that's awesome.
That. Yeah.
I don't think I thought that when I saw it, but I'm like, oh, yes. Because at first I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's way more pods than we knew.
Our showrunners are always putting little Easter eggs in there for the geekiest of us there. Were you the one who
told
me that?
The Expanse fans have gotten everything. Nothing gets by.
Were you the one that noticed this and I didn't notice it? You know that shot where in season two, where we did the voice, the commentary on, and your wrench gets knocked out of your hand into space?
Oh, the 2001?
Yeah, that looked like the 2001 bone.
The bone, the 2001.
Wow, that is, jeez.
Yeah.
Like, they're putting little things all the way through, all these geeky little things for people to find. So.
Okay. Favorite character in the show besides yourself, and why? Can't do your own character.
Okay.
Who's your favorite? Like in
season one and two.
I really like Bobby Draper. I think she's really interesting.
That's a good one.
And I think Bobby Draper is unlike anything that I've seen on TV or in movies. And so she's very unique to me, and I think she's really interesting. But Ava Sorala, I love her dearly.
Wes is talking about roles he wants to play.
Hey, they're good roles.
Yeah, they are.
Very challenging. Very challenging.
Ready to fall out of a window and fall down a building? We had that scene. Yeah.
I talked to
the drummer. Had my
the stunt woman that did that, and she had no rehearsal and she just did that for real.
Oh wow!
Yeah, she was she was doing stunts on The Strain, and she said, "Yeah, I did that dropout that thing for Bobby," and it was she just did it. Like three flights, bang, bang, bang. It was very impressive.
Yeah, it's like a real university in Canada, right?
Yeah. It is. Sorry, what were you saying?
Drummer had one of my favorite moments in the second season.
Oh, that's a good...
She was shot in the stomach.
Yeah.
And then she gets up and shoots...
Yes.
Point blank him in the face.
And then walks out.
Yeah.
That's a badass.
Doesn't need assistance when she walks out either. She's like, no, I got it.
Don't help me.
I was trying to remember. I said, we have five badass leading ladies on our show, none of whom are white, none of whom are revolving around a man. And I was trying to remember who the fifth
Charlie's
was.
Angels.
And it's drummer. It's like Charlie's Angels. But no, you have Ava Sorala, Julie Mao, Naomi, Bobby Draper, and drummer. Those five women, all of whom are mixed race or non-white characters, all of them are driven, badass leaders. And I think, like, what show do you know out there that has that? That has that kind of female strength?
Which one? I'm just kidding.
It's strong ladies, but... I'm also on the Magicians After Show, and that one also had a relatively diverse cast as well. And I do like how this show has such a diverse cast of, like, everyone. And, like, even the roles for women are fantastic, and then even just everybody, it's, like, a nice color variety that's not just, like, all the same kind of people. You know, cookie-cutter boring. Because it's, like, the future of, like, okay, of course, obviously, there's going to be more variety. So it's a nice reflection of that.
I guess
you said your favorite character. We'll go down. Well, do you have a favorite character and why?
So this one was good because luckily for me, I got to binge everything right before like I got to join on this, and I think it was like one of my first couple episodes, and I was telling her, I was like, yeah, you know, it's like I was watching the show because of Tom Jane, I like him, good, and then they killed him off, supposedly. I was like, oh man, and I kept telling these guys, I was like, yeah, I hate Amos, I was like, I hate that guy, and then, then it was finally the scene where they reveal that they're dating, and you're like, I'd do her. I was like, hey, that's something that I would say. And I was like, yes. So that's why I was like, when she was like saying, he's like, so do you think that he'd, I was like, no, he can't do that. That kills Amos. I was like, you can't do that. He's got the good lines, you know. I was like, you can't do it. So for me, I would say it's Amos.
Yeah, Amos rocks.
I go for Vassarala, and I'd say actually a similar reason to why you like Bobby. Like, her character is not a common thing on television older female swearing. Oh, I love how much she swears. So when I read the book, I get like, you know, I have
and
a book on
it
CD.
In that voice and that accent.
Yes.
I love, I think it was the one before last, but I love her swagger when she walks on to the
Pierre's her pantsuit. We love that too.
And she's walking. She says my AIDS.
Yeah.
And through, I thought that was great.
Shura, we loved her clothes too.
Shura said this at San Diego Comic-Con. She goes, normally I come in and I surprise my characters. Avasarala, she surprises me. And she says that's what she says that's what she loves about that character. And I said, that's a really good answer.
Yeah.
Her character surprises her. That's a really great line.
It's been mentioned a couple of times, so apparently they like the scene where you there's a wet willy involved between you two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I should
wait.
Was that
improv.
Planned ahead? Okay, no. All
yeah,
right.
And then the...
was that improv? You added that?
Yeah, you remember?
You little bugger.
Because I think, like, we talked, like, let's do something different.
Oh, yeah, you said let's do something different. And I'm like, okay, try something different. He doesn't tell me what he's going to do.
And then they said...
So you see, my reaction was quite real.
And I think we did the doer thing then, too. Yeah, that was a fun day.
Yeah, nice. Doer.
And is there anything else you'd like to add of your experience on the show, the fan reception of it, anything?
Well, the fans are amazing.
Yes, I think I've had the most fun with the Expanse fans than I have with anything I've done before. And, you know, anytime I run into them, it's, you know, out in the street or at Comic-Cons or anything like that, they are so involved in the show, but they have so much knowledge of the books, and they're so fun to talk to, and they have strong opinions and strong ideas, and they've been incredibly supportive of the show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of times you do something, there's fans, but they're not as devoted as, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's been really
cool. I get to go a lot of Comic-Cons, and when I was doing season one, I went to the Comic-Cons, and the fans were kind of like, oh yeah, The Expanse, I've heard of that, and there's like kind of like a bit unknown and whatever.
Yeah.
Went for season two, after season two had aired, and season one had been on Netflix, and I had a little sign saying Expanse, and I got rushed. Like, once season two had hit, the fans were not like uncertain at all.
It was like a different... I don't know what happened, but it's been a different experience.
And so I just said, okay, hold that thought. I turned on my camera, and I had them send videos to these guys who were all different parts of the world. I said, okay, tell me what you think of the show. And so I had like four or five different people going, oh my God, I love the show. I go, this part, Amos is this, and Vassarala, I love Vassarala. And they're like, and they're pointing to very, very, very tiny little moments in the show, in the seasons. And it's like they really, really watched, and they really, really loved it. And that's incredibly rewarding as someone who's doing the show to have that kind of following. One thing that is really kind of something we're proud of is we got invited to Caltech University.
Oh, wow.
We did a thing called the Science of the
Expanse. I did a few lectures there a while back, so I had some.
Yes, Wes is actually a particle physicist.
Nice,
science.
Nice.
Of course.
But we got an A+ on our science because one of the things we're most proud of is how we try as much as possible to keep the science real in the show.
Exactly.
And there's all sorts of little things you'll see if you watch the show really carefully. We were watching when we were doing the DVD voiceovers. All these little things, science stuff, that when you see it a second or third time, like these little moments where we're on series and Thomas Jane is pouring a drink and you see the water kind of swirl in a weird way.
Right.
Thing called the Coriolis effect, which I've never heard of
before. Coriolis, yeah.
And Naomi uses it a little bit later on with some dust when she's trying to figure her way out of there. Yeah. And then the hummingbird, when it flies in zero lower gravity. And tons of science, and they love the flip and burn, the big flip and burn scene from season one. So that's a big thing for us. We get a lot of praise on our science.
And Naren Shankar, our showrunner, said early on that he wanted space to be a character in the movie and show how realistically hard surviving in space is.
It's
how impossible to live in space.
Yeah.
Whereas there's some futuristic or sci-fi shows where it looks comfortable, it looks nice, and you're just
right.
beam over there, and you
it's
know,
like a vacation.
It's not easy, you know.
Yeah, it's like that scene where the Belter opens his lid, his spacesuit lid in space, because there's a wire sticking out of his suit, and he exposes his face to space, and he pulls the wire out, and you see him breathing out the air, and it's steaming, and he closes the lid, and everyone went up in arms going, "You can't open your thing in space, your head's going to explode, blah, blah, blah," and the reality is you can. It does that because it's just zero. It's a vacuum. It's not like a super suction. It's like a vacuum, which is zero atmosphere as opposed to one atmosphere. And it's super cold, but it takes time to freeze.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to let your breath out so you don't get the bends.
So it's like that scene where like they're blowing out. They're blowing out in the thing. And I said like she could like she breathed for a little bit. And I thought that she would just be like, she'd immediately die.
Oh, yeah. We
talked
that
about
when
that.
The,
yeah. So that's great to know like, that you're bringing that up now.
Fun comment, which I'm like, oh, I like that. Bad Bunny says, the Rosinante is an AI. So when is the ship going to speak?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't
know. Gaz speaks to the ship a lot.
I'm right? Yeah.
She speaks to me all the time.
She speaks to him a lot. But that is interesting. It'd be like the 2001 type of relationship.
And whose voice will it be?
Right?
Siri.
Yeah, right.
Siri's in the future.
Yeah.
Well, because it makes beeps and noises. That's about as much as it made. Because there was a scene where it's like, here, let's plot the course to do the slingshot.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't actually have words, but I wonder if they... Well, it's a warship. I think they would minimize that down. So maybe now they can add that.
They should do a Her episode. Like her with Kaz falls in love with the ship. Like you hear the voice that she's talking back, and he has this romance.
Oh,
I love that movie. That was great.
Well, she does everything you tell her to, so she's the perfect little companion.
I love that moment. I completely forgot about that moment when I said when I see you guys down on Ganymede, and you go, "What are you doing here?" And I'm like, "Well, blah blah blah. We had to do this, and then we figured we'd come down." And you went, "We?"
Yeah, right.
We love that moment.
Anyways, how come you're always getting shot? Yeah. That was funny. I completely forgot about that moment. That was funny when I saw it.
We noticed it as well. That was very fun. Anything else coming up that you want that you can talk about that you have going on? Obviously, there'll be season 3. But any other projects going on for you, both of you?
Can you talk about anything?
Yeah, I just finished Hades Escape Plan 2 with Sylvester Stallone.
Nice. Yeah, and they're gonna do Escape Plan 3.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
they've already greenlit that.
So
they found out
towards the towards the end of shooting, you know, they liked how everything was going, and Stallone wanted to do it, so they're gonna do a 3. So they announced that.
That's
there.
Amazing. Nice. Congrats. Yeah, that's amazing. Congrats! That's amazing.
And Wes has got a great role in it. He's got a big part in it. So
and then the release date. If
I don't know. I don't think we just finished a couple days ago, so I don't think we have a release date of that.
It's probably gonna be summer of next year.
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
Cool.
I did this movie called All I See Is You in Thailand last summer, and so I think that comes out in April. So Blake Lively and Jason Clark.
That was at Toronto Film Festival, right?
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
It premiered at TIFF, and it's an obsessive love story. And Mark Forrest, the director, I think he did an incredible job, and that comes out the spring or this summer, actually.
Okay.
And I'm going to be doing season 4 of The Strain,
nice,
which is the final season of that series.
I look
so
forward to that.
They get to go pull out all the stops and go hog wild with that.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
There I am. Mike's doing weird stuff. I do the after show for The Strain here.
Oh, yeah?
And if I can just say one thing, I hate Zach. He's the worst. He's terrible. We liked your character. Your character's great.
The little kid?
Your character gets put in a little bit of a bind, but
that kid causes me a lot of problems.
Sorry to butt in, but I just had to say that our whole after show was basically like we did a whole monologue about like things we want to do to Zach because it's the worst.
Is he the worst? Joffrey on Game
he's
of Thrones.
He's worse than Joffrey.
He's like the kid on Walking Dead. He's like Carl.
Oh, okay.
Kinda except like, a dick.
But he's a Carl gone bad.
Right.
He's Carl gone bad.
So are you doing season 3 before our season 3 or season 4? Are you doing
it
after?
I'm wrapped on that.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna air while we're shooting.
And does that shoot in Toronto? The Strain?
Yeah.
So do you stay in the same place and everything there?
We're going to be shooting The Expanse where I shot The Strain.
Oh, so we move studios.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Star Trek has our old studios.
Oh, you know.
Oh, Star Trek Discovery?
No.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
They have our own studio. Yeah, they kicked us out, and we are going to take over from the strain.
We're going to have a gang expanse fight with the Star Trek.
Yes.
We should.
Like, we own space.
We should, actually.
Just all show up and be like, we're the sci-fi.
Taking our studios?
Yeah.
Very cool. So that's
Are you covering the Star Trek show?
No, not yet.
I don't think my name's on that list. Yeah.
People have signed up.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Well,
oh,
okay. I think it... Well, we. When does that come out?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like 3 months out from coming out is when we start like getting hosts for it. But The Strain comes out in September.
Oh, it's coming out in September.
I think is what it said, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
Well, we'll be deep into season three of The Expanse when that comes out. So that'll be fun.
Well,
It's a very brutal show.
Yes. Anything else you want to add?
No, I just want to say thank you guys. I mean, this is such a treat. And she actually surprised me as I was here. And she's like, oh, by the way. And I was like, who? And then all of a sudden I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you for
all the great things that you said about the show and everything. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Thanks for being so friggin' loyal and knowledgeable about the show. It's so rewarding for us.
It's our pleasure. Yeah, our other host, Maria, couldn't make it today. And she's going to be so disappointed to find out.
It's the first time you guys have had two of us on here.
Right? I know. We got to keep this going.
And Ty almost came.
Well, they joined us at least via Skype.
He has another interview.
Oh, okay.
Well, next time. Season three, you have to come back and then bring
more. We'll extend the table. We'll bring the whole cast back.
Well, we have a couch, too. We can fit a few more people. Yeah. So why don't you say where people can find you online so they can continue following you and being up to date with what you're doing.
Okay.
Look over.
That one?
That's yours. Yeah. Yep.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Official Wes Chatham.
And you can get me anywhere, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Cass Anvar.
Oh, you guys can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RickHong.
And what other shows are you on? Because this one's over.
I'm doing Better Call Saul on Mondays. So if you guys like Better Call Saul, then come watch me. I'm doing that for now.
Cool.
Speaking of Better Call Saul, the director of Better Call Saul directed the finale of our season one.
Oh, cool.
And the premiere.
And the premiere.
Nice.
And season one finale was nominated for a Hugo Award.
Oh, wow.
Best adaptation of a novel in television.
That's huge.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. Chip says, best sci-fi show ever. Can't wait for season three. You guys rock. Keep up the awesome
work. Thanks, Chip.
Thank you so much for watching. We loved having you in the live chat. And if you weren't able to make the live chat, totally fine. Please comment down below. Let us know your thoughts on the episode. And you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And quick shout out to Espionage Cosmetics. I did my space nails another episode. So this time I had fairies from The Magicians.
Did they see your space outfit?
I have a space galaxy space dress outfit. Here.
And the color in the hair.
You know, and I'll post photos of that as well. And so my show is Box Office Breakdown on Sundays, where we talk about what movies came out over the weekend. And coming up in the near future and a little bit further, we have Handmaid's Tale starting very soon. That'll be on Thursdays.
My dear friend. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we'll talk more. Handmaid's Tale coming up soon. American Gods is coming up. And then in June is going to be Wynonna Earp. So a little bit of a variety and fun action stuff for you. So again, thank you so much for watching. Make sure you give the video a thumbs up, 5 stars on iTunes, and like and subscribe. Thank you so much for watching.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
And
thank
yay for
thank
season
you.
Three.
Season Woo! Three. Yeah.
Season three.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.